This Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up is a celebration of all their best bits from today's show. The Weekly Review is celebrating the best of Melbourne. It's people, places, properties and all the things that make this truly the world's most livable city. Check out this week's issue or head to theweeklyreview.com.au.
Yesterday on the show, Fifi, you were talking about Trixie and how even though she's three, she's got a bit of a no photos policy.
Yeah, she screams. Anytime I pick up a camera, even my phone, I could be picking up my phone to make a phone call and she screams, no photos, no photos. Like she won't let me. I want to document her life. That's really important to me visually. And I'm going to miss at the moment. She's just only turned four. I'm not going to get any photos of her at four. It's like I'm a pap. I mean, it's quite confronting. Oh, dear.
There we go. She's actually made a call into
has
the show.
Has she? Hello, darling.
Oh, you're finding this slightly annoying. Oh, what a coinkydink. I find a constant flashing and photos a little bit annoying.
That's just because Mummy loves you and she wants to capture every moment of your life. That's a compliment.
Oh, it is obviously suffocating. Look, firstly, you played that audio grab yesterday on your so-called radio show without my permission. Have fun talking to my lawyer about that. Now, secondly, of course, I don't want you taking photos. Every time we take a photo, you have to work on my pose, make sure every freaking photo looks good. Happy Snaps turn into an episode of Search for a Supermodel. Like, oh, Trixie, I'm not sure about that dress. Oh, Trixie, can you smile more? Oh, Trixie, that's not a nice finger to show Mummy. I get to, oh! At times a little bit too much, okay? Mm-hmm. One she actually loves, guys, is Trixie, you had your eyes closed for that one. Oh, no, crap, I was napping because I was exhausted from the photo shoot. What do you want me to do, sleep with my eyes open? What am I in the SAS? Oh, this is too much. It is!
Wow, there she goes. Trixie box, whoa. It's the fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're each the stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
Oh, we love this. We can all just sit back and enjoy a story from... Well, Fev has a long list, an archive of stories.
I might even just close my eyes while you're telling me, just so I really capture... every moment of it.
Well, it's getting wasted at 20 past seven, but we'll go with it anyway. I'm going to take you back to 2006, I think, guys. Playing footy, and I was struggling a little bit. Yeah, I was going through a little bit of a rough patch, and I just the mind wasn't there. And Dennis Pagan came up to me on a Monday, and we're playing St Kilda on the Saturday night, and he said, mate, we're going to play you at full back on your mate Fraser Gehrig. I said, what? Sorry, what? Anyway, had dinner with Fraser on the Tuesday night, and we had a couple of froths, having a bit of Thai, and he said, oh, you know, my
was this before BMI testing? Yeah, this is before pinch testing.
This is when you could do what you want. And he said, who am I playing on? Brett Thornton, obviously. Oh, yeah, you got him covered. And I said, I'm on Max Hutchton. Yep, bang. And anyway, on the Saturday night, we run out, and I've got the long sleeve on, and siren's gone to start the game, and I've walked down to obviously the back end, and
it's the wrong end.
Oh, well, Aaron Hamill, who I used to play footy with at Carlton, and we call him Sammy. He said, "Hey, Fev, you beep beep, you're at the wrong end." I said, "No, I'm not." Anyway, walked down the goal square.
Dennis Pagan have told Aaron?
No, he played for St Kilda.
Oh,
at the time,
God,
yeah,
moved across.
Yeah, he moved across, and then big phrase does it. Remember, he used to do those big sprints down to the goal square. He'd run up and down the big snake, and he just smiled at me. And I thought, I've got this bloke covered. So the first two balls come into the back line. I've taken two marks. I thought, geez, this is easy. I better not do too good because I might have to stay down here. So I let Fraze kick the next five goals in the next 15 minutes.
Five in 15?
He kicked five goals in the first 15 minutes because I'd taken the first two marks. And I literally thought, if I keep going like this, I'm going to have to stay down here. So anyway, at the quarter time, I went back down to full forward and kicked a couple of snags. We lost by 130-something points. And the next 3 weeks, I kicked 7, 7, and 8. And Dennis Pagan came up to me and said, see, I taught you a lesson, son. And I said, no, I taught you a lesson. Never play me at fullback ever again.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're each the stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
I can't help but wonder that sometimes you use those tactics on us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just every now and then we go, Fev. I mean, your
sport... Live reads. Give me a live read and I'll butcher it. But if it's Mercedes-Benz live read, I nail
it. Dave
that.
And I now tend to do most live reads. And I love the fact that even the we've all been enjoying Fev Sports reports on a Monday and a Friday.
They're very good.
And our boss the other day said, maybe we should think about doing them every day. If you start tanking your sports reports, I know why.
If they come every day, I will butcher the crap out of them.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We started the conversation a few days ago about kids being bullied at school or being left out or excluded. And because we had a call from a really concerned mum, Bev, her son goes to a school where he's only got one friend, doesn't get invited to other kids' parties, and he's got his seventh birthday party coming up, and no kids turned up at his birthday party last year. So this year, we're actually putting on his seventh birthday party. We're doing it for Logan, and we're reaching out to all kids out there and parents who have gone through this, because I think it's one of the hardest things for a parent, very heartbreaking when their kids are being excluded or bullied at school and they have no friends. And to get better insight into this, we're actually joined now by Oscar Yildiz, who's the CEO of Bully Zero Australia Foundation. Oscar, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure.
Oscar, it's really overwhelming what's happened over the last few days. We started this conversation 2 days ago and we have been inundated. The phone has not stopped ringing from mums and dads in tears because they're opening up about what their kids go through at school. And we thought there's nobody better to get some advice from than you, Oscar. How does a parent deal with this situation when their child comes home from school and is either being bullied or excluded by other kids?
Oh, look, I think the key thing is to acknowledge that this is quite a serious issue, and it does leave scars, and kids certainly don't forget. But I think parents should be as positive as they possibly can and be good role models. Bullying's often learned behaviour, and the apple really never falls far from the tree. So, and children will often pave a way along a similar path of life lessons and values that parents have taught them. So bullying is often learned behaviour. It's often learned at home. So I think parents just need to teach their kids more about empathy, more about resilience, and I guess impart some of the good values into their kids, and that being, of course, inclusiveness. That's one key thing that parents, I think, need to do more often. And a lot of parents will ask their kids who they didn't play with, and we encourage parents to ask more positive questions. You know, who did you actually play with, and who did you have your lunch with today, and what's one important thing you learned today, or how many new friends did you make today? They're more positive things and that parents should be asking, rather than, you know, why did this happen, or why didn't this happen, or why didn't they play with you? Those negative questions will often result sometimes in negative situations.
Oscar, it's Fev here. I'm loving those ads at the moment that are getting around with the kid getting bullied at school and then the kid standing up for themselves against the bullies. But the parents and teachers can only do so much, because it's usually done in a school playground or a sporting field or sporting training where the parents and teachers aren't around. So what would you say to the kids in the car that see this bullying going on to stand up for the kids that are getting bullied?
Oh, spot on, Fev. Look, I mean, I think people need to be upstanders. Nearly 70% of us are bystanders here in Australia. We just watch something and walk away. I think what we do is when we go into schools, we teach kids about being the upstander. And upstanders normally take action, and bullying can often stop in under 10 seconds when the bystander actually does something. So we say to kids, look, you know, follow the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated, with respect, with common courtesy and integrity. If that was you, how would you feel? And I often say to students, well, ask yourself this. If you were in that similar situation, online or offline, what would you have done? And most kids sit there and go, oh God, look, I would have done the following. And I go, well, why didn't you do it? So it's kids sometimes not having the assertiveness and not having the courage. And we encourage kids to stand up, step up and say something or do something. They're key things that we instill in our children when we go into schools, or even when we're going into, you know, teaching teenagers or even adults.
That's a great message. So the kids that are in the car, make sure you stand up, because the bully usually will back down once someone stands up and realise that they've actually made that mistake. So
easy to say that, though, but so hard. And I think, Oscar, it's just important to make that. It's for parents who have that, you know, the child come home in tears. Just finally, what is that? Because I think that's what's overwhelmed me the last few days, parents crying because they're being strong for their kids. Do you just smother them in love, or is this life lessons? You say it's okay, buck up, you'll be okay.
Look, I think the love thing's definitely important. I mean, children need to know that they're always going to have a good, close-knit family behind them. Kids are going to be kids, and this sort of thing's going to happen. We're not going to put a stop to it today, I'm sure, but I just commend you guys on what you're doing, because the most dangerous form of bullying is exactly this, and that is the indirect stuff, the stuff that parents and teachers can't see. So bringing this to the forefront is excellent, and I think most people who resort to this sort of behaviour know what they're doing, and you know, psychological, emotional, social, even relationship bullying is quite dangerous. So I think parents need to encourage their kids to say, hey, look, you know, try and find a new group of friends. If people aren't playing with you or they're not inviting you to the party, that's okay. There'll be another party that will come up, or we could maybe have our own party. And this is exactly what you guys are doing. So I really do commend you. And you know, we're not going to be able to, as I mentioned, we're not going to be able to put a stop to it right now. But I think if we can educate as many young children from kinder right through to year 12, reiterate a lot of the things we're talking about this morning, you know, to schools and to teachers and even to parents, because as I mentioned, there's no DNA. Bullying is learned behaviour.
Well, Oscar, they're great tips. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, mate.
Really appreciate it. And they do some great work there at Bully Zero Australia, including their 1-800-BULLY helpline, which has answered over 15,000 calls. So some great stuff.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
People often talk about relationships and when you know you've met somebody and they could be the one. And I've always thought to myself, oh, that's interesting. You know, that I wonder what that epiphany feels like.
You've never had it?
I think I might have had it.
Really?
Yeah. Stephen?
Oh, my God. I have been.
Well, collectively now all our exes are starting to cry listening to the, the podcast.
No, I've been in a relationship for a number of months now. And it's been going really well, and I'm really happy, and we're enjoying each other's company.
Are you?
Maybe.
Has any of you two said I love you to each other?
That's very personal, isn't it? Well, there's been some...
That's what it's called on here, fee personal.
He looked down at our sheet.
Yeah. I like him very, 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 very much.
So love hasn't been said?
And I think he likes me, but you'd have to ask him. May or may not have been dropped into conversations. But
do you know each other's PIN number?
No!
Well, that's real love.
Is it really? That's the definition.
No, love's when they've got your account. you can't access it.
You know how a relationship works? I won't look at your credit card statements, babe. You don't look at my internet history. That's how it works.
So you say maybe, you know, is it a text or is it voiced?
No, we've had, I can't share our personal conversations,
I'm just asking the questions.
Yes, it would seem that we're quite enamoured with each other. Mm. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say that on his behalf.
Okay, well, what about this? Let's get away from weird stuff, but what about just that moment? Because you mentioned the moment you realise this will be a beautiful romantic moment.
Okay, so picture this. On the weekend, Saturday night, date night, and we thought of all the things that, you know, where should we go, what should we do?
You and decided?
The fact that it was mutual.
Oh, wow.
We ate Indian takeaway in bed, watched Netflix. Already I'm going, this is it.
Wait a minute.
Everything I've ever wanted.
You did Netflix and chill, did you?
This is a bit where so you all guys know I'm a big fan of chocolate. Chocolate's my thing. So there was a chocolate Easter bunny, a hangover from Easter. And we'd eaten, you know when you
eat. You forgotten where you'd eat them again?
You know when you eat Indian and you go, oh, so full, couldn't eat anything else. You had the 100%. Naan, you've had the buttered chicken, you're like, I can't eat anything else. He went and got the chocolate. And I looked, like, that's usually me. I am the person who wants the chocolate. He got the chocolate, we had a bit of chocolate together. And then he goes, no, we shouldn't have any more. I can't have any more. He's put it back in the fridge. We were talking. We're in the middle of a conversation, looking in each other's eyes, just having a conversation. And he just looked at me and he went, hang on. I need to go back and get the chocolate. And in that moment, I went, I think you're the one.
Well, hang on a second.
Hang on.
I'll tell you what he is. He's an enabler. That's what he is.
Now, are they the only two things
that
could have been anybody that done that?
Already it was a great date. Hey. For me, I have always always been the one who's always gone, I want to go back and get more chocolate. The fact that I've met my equal
in life. It's because you're laying there by yourself.
Who wants
There's no one else to get it.
No, but he wanted more. And I go, yes, you're the man for me. You want more too.
Okay.
We both want more chocolate.
He's playing a good game, Dave.
I don't want to shift attention, but did Alex feel the same way when you ordered the second pizza? Was she like, he is one?
No, Alex is always like, I can't eat anything, so I'll bring a packet of chips up, like some of those Red Rock sweet chili chips with the avocado dip, and she just greases me off, and then she's like, can I have one? And we share it. I'm a feeder.
Yeah, see, I
never like that in relationships. I don't want any. Well, then don't have any off me plate.
No, I'm a a foodie, and I love food, and he loves food. But it was just for me.
Do you love him?
You know,
answer the question, Fiona.
That moment,
do you love
where
him?
Okay, do you love his chocolate?
Do you love him? Just yes or no. Simple.
Yes. No!
I tell you what, if you haven't said that to his face, and the first time you said it was on a radio show, that's unfortunate.
He's just said an eggplant.
Anyway,
he hasn't said anything.
The fact that your moment, and everyone, a lot of people have far more romantic moments when they go, yes, you're the one. It wasn't up a hot air balloon. It was just eating chocolate.
No, he wanted to go back and get more chocolate.
That
was for me. I looked
beautiful,
at him as he walked off to the fridge and I went, I think you're the man for me.
It's not really the moment, though. It's not what you'd expect the pin drop moment would be that.
Well, what are other people's pin drop moments? I'm happy to hear, but maybe theirs are as mundane as mine, and maybe that's the beauty and the mundaneness of him walking up to a fridge.
After you've had butter chicken.
You don't see that in
Sleepless in Seattle, do you? Someone comes back from at the survey paying for the petrol and goes, oh, I got the two chocolate bars for one. Oh, my God, you're it!
So we want to hear hopefully better moments than that, but that moment you realised... It's the one.
Well, what about the moment we just got? He said an eggplant. Yes!
Oh, he's a romantic, that guy, isn't he? A lovely text message that was received.
But you know what we got out of that, Byron? Fife said she loved Stephen on air.
It was amazing.
Oh, how was that?
What a moment.
What's his way? Like, it's not helping sending an eggplant. That's too healthy. What are you trying to do, mate?
Fife, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Quickly summarise the moment that the pin dropped for you.
No, often talk in relationships about that moment they realised they'd met the one or the perfect person for them. And I have been in a relationship now for a few months and we had this great night on the weekend and I was loving it already. We're eating takeaway in bed. I'm like, yes, this is everything. And then we had a bit of chocolate and you guys know that my first love has always been chocolate. And then Stephen went and put it in the fridge, came back, to bed, we're having a conversation, and then he said, I'll stop you there.
I'll go get Willy Wonka out.
I want to go and get more chocolate. And as he walked off to get more chocolate, I went, yes, you're the one for me.
You've got lofty standards, don't you? Anyone who can walk down aisle 8, the confectionery aisle, has got your heart.
We were hoping for better stories than that. And 13...
But more importantly, I need to stress this. I was wanting more chocolate.
Sure.
And he's talking, I'm like, all I want is that Easter egg in the fridge. Mm. And then he went, I want to get it. And it was telepathic. It was like we were on the same wavelength.
Now I feel sorry for Stephen. You were disinterested in his conversation. He's like, all right, I'll go get a chocolate. Now I just feel sorry for the bloke.
Anyway, it was a moment where I thought he may very well be the one. Oh. Philippa from Sunbury. Hi, Philippa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Philippa, did you similarly have an epiphany?
I did. So when I fall asleep pretty early at every night and... I'll fall asleep watching TV with my boyfriend next to me, falling asleep on like three pillows, and he'll take away the pillows while I'm sleeping so I don't get a sore neck.
Oh, now that is, I mean, that's thoughtful beyond words.
He's just moved pillows.
He's moved, he's the one, Byron, I get it. Philippa, that is so thoughtful.
There's a lot of taking in these loving relationships. I'm talking about how much they give love, just what they can receive.
Jillian in Tullamarine. Hi, Jillian.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Jillian. When did you realise you were with the one?
My husband was eating a coffee scroll and he looked at me and he held it out to me so I could have a bite.
Oh, Jillian, oh my goodness, we could be soulmates because
I know, right?
Coffee scrolls are one of my favourite baked good. In fact, if Stephen bought me a coffee scroll, I'd probably marry him.
Okay.
Like, that would be amazing.
I did, 24 years later.
Wow, took a while, but that's, wow, that's an extraordinary story.
I mean, no, can, just for
so
a moment.
So you realise 24 years later.
Seriously, guys, though, how underrated are coffee scrolls? A good sticky bun is amazing.
All right.
Do you know if this ever, if you and Stephen ever fall over, which I hope it doesn't, people are going to be coming up to you with Indian and chocolate and saying, hey, baby.
They're at Club 23 just handing over top deck.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron took a call from Bev from Melton.
I have a six-year-old son. His name's Logan. He has spina bifida. Had birthday parties where we've invited classes and kinders and no one's come along.
For his next birthday, Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron are putting on a party for him.
Let's put on a party for kids that do get left out.
Logan's seventh birthday party. You
got a friend. That's right, Logan's seventh birthday party. He had his sixth birthday party and nobody turned up. Well, we are not letting that happen to Logan this year. And
no
we've
way.
Been inundated the last couple of days, not only from lots of parents who have similar experiences to Bev and their children for whatever reason. They're at school with no friends. They don't get invites to parties. We want all these kids involved. So 131060, if you can relate to Bev and you would love your child, your son, your daughter to come along and feel involved, we want them all there. We want all your kids. We're going to look after them at this big party. Now, the other thing we've been inundated by is a number of Melburnians who heard this story and wanted to help out. And we've got so many people who are wanting to contribute for free their services, even just themselves. We've had lots of people just ring in and say, can I just come and help out?
Which has been amazing.
Hasn't it, Fev? It's been really overwhelming. And we've got Nathan from Leventon North. Hi, Nath.
Hi, guys. How are
you? Good. Now, Nathan, you called up immediately when you heard this because you wanted to help contribute and make Logan's party the best ever.
Oh, definitely. My heart goes out to little Logan there. So yeah, we just and we heard the show on Monday, obviously, and yeah, we're just listening about what you guys are doing for him, and we just think it's just so beautiful. And yeah, we really just want to help out there, so we're more than happy to lend out a masculine costume of Logan's choice for one of you guys to wear to his party.
Because you're from Port Jester Fancy Dress, aren't you?
Yes,
Nathan? This
yes,
is your shop.
Well, he loves dinosaurs, Legos, animals, and Star Wars.
Yes, yes. Well, we've definitely got some Star Wars costumes.
Oh, my God.
Chewbacca. Byron.
Why do I, everything we do, and I love this, Logan's the best kid ever, but why is every single thing we do, I end up in a costume?
Why are you being a fun block? I'll be a stormtrooper. Let's go.
Nate, that is so lovely. So we've got fancy dress costumes. That would be brilliant.
Sick.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
no
you
worries
for being
at
so
all.
Generous
that
too.
That is
my pleasure.
Feather's a giant thanks, dinosaur. It's going to be great.
Feet can go as Yoda.
I'll be the big T-Rex.
So. Lauren from Dreamscape Entertainment. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, guys.
Lauren, you called us out of the blue and said you'd somehow like to get involved in making Logan's party amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was so touched by this story. I have a kids entertainer, so I do kids parties every weekend, and I'm a mum myself. So I would like to offer my services as a kids entertainer to come down and do some balloon twisting and some magic and some games, and I can even do face painting. So I really just want to help out as much as I can.
Oh,
thank you.
That's so
best.
Sweet. They love that. That'll be great. I love balloon twisting.
You can get
that's
your face
art,
painted, Thief.
Yes, the kids can get their face painted.
No, Tifa's too busy because she's dressing up as Yoda.
The last of the Jedi will you be.
So she's going to be busy with all
oh
that.
Oh, my God, with the ears.
Same height.
Oh
it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't
Caitlin
it?
Caitlin from Whiz Fizz in Helen.
Whiz
Hi,
Fizz.
Caitlin.
Whiz Fizz.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good. Caitlin, all the adults in the studio here are very excited about Whiz Fizz. What on earth have you got in store for us? And firstly, thanks for wanting to get involved.
Oh, that's all right. We absolutely love the idea for Logan's birthday. So we believe it's not a party without Whiz Fizz. So we would like to donate a Whiz Fizz lolly bag for everyone that comes
oh
and helps help Logan's birthday.
Oh, Caitlin, that is so generous.
Wow.
Thank you so much. And Whiz Fizz, I mean, it's not a childhood without Whiz Fizz.
Everyone will be up and about.
Caitlin, that is amazing. Thank you so much. So lolly bags, I mean, this will blow Logan's mind when you tell him this is all happening for him.
This is all amazing.
Well, we hope so.
But there are parents coming. Are there like cocktail makers or anything?
No. I think Whiz Fizz do cocktails.
And the other thing, Fife, that is a lovely offer from Caitlin there at Whiz Fizz in Hallam. Does Caitlin understand how big this party might be? She said Whiz Fizz for everyone. This is getting quite big.
So much is happening behind the scenes. And I think this is a chord that has struck Melbourne. Yeah, we are talking about Logan and how heartbreaking it is when no kids turn up at someone's party. But there are so many other children that we want to welcome along to that are like Logan. So all these kids feel like this is for them and they feel included. And we won't say anything right now, but we do have a big announcement to make tomorrow about where this party's going to be.
Ooh, huge.
Yeah.
But it's going to be big, isn't it?
It's very big.
We will need a Cassie Sainsbury level of Whiz Fizz, guys.
Okay, all right. It's 23 past 8 on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Did you know Sunrise, the TV show, my former employer, that it's been running for 24 seasons?
Wow.
Which I think is 24 years, because I don't think they ever stop.
I'm pretty sure it's 24 years.
Yeah, it is. Just interesting the way the paper have said seasons.
Like there are episodes and there's like a cliffhanger at the end.
And what was...
Koshy falls off it.
And the Sunrise executive producer, the wonderful Michael Pell, who was my former boss and just a great guy. I've known Michael for a long time. Yep. He was revealing the best and worst celebrity guests that have ever appeared on the show, which I was interested in because I was the entertainment editor for 2 years. So I was doing a lot of the guests, but...
I've been on there.
You have been on Sunrise, I'm guessing.
I hope I'm not one of them.
No, wouldn't necessarily be on it.
Fife, I mean, you wouldn't have interviewed Fev, but yeah, we all remember that time when you were doing the celebrity interviews for Sunrise. It'd be interesting to get your perspective on it, but also use the technology that we have here on the show to talk to your brain about your time there.
Oh, gosh, just ask me. Sunrise. You don't need that.
Connecting to Fifi's brain. Now connected. You can now hear Fifi's brain.
Oh, I like how you said the executive producer was your boss. No one tells Fifi what to do.
There's no need to talk to this silly technology. You obviously have yourself? Me right here.
Do you just call yourself silly?
No, you're silly.
It's your brain.
Oh my God, you did it again. Oh, that is embarrassing.
Fifi, and unfortunately, your brain is going to chime in here. But
unfortunately.
I will ask you.
Oh, you're getting fired.
Firstly, I'm confused now. Who's firing me? Anyway.
Both of us.
The worst celebrity that you've ever had an encounter with on Sunrise, Fief?
The worst? Okay, I would say James Franco.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
Tell the truth.
No, go on. I didn't even know this one was there.
You remember, you were there. You were with me, Brain. We were in LA.
Cut dress on?
No, we were at the Four Seasons. He was promoting movie that he clearly had no interest in, and he was just rude. Very unnecessarily disinterested and rude. And I felt like saying, James, you clearly don't want to be here. I don't want to be here either. Let's just pack it up, shall we?
Let's pack it up. And my eyes are up here. But one of the things, high maintenance celebs. Cash cow would always laugh at Koshy's jokes. I'm like, don't encourage him. I don't care. I understand when this is done, you have to go straight to the abattoir. But seriously, have some respect until that happens.
I will ask
Cash
this.
Cow and I get along fine.
Let's be positive about it, though. Who's the best celebrity you would have met at your time at Sunrise, Fief?
Ooh, so many. Honestly, I don't know where to start. John Cleese was amazing. Eddie Murphy was a joy. So many. I've never interviewed my boyfriend as part of my job.
Not on camera.
No. Oh, countless. Michael Caine, The Rock.
Right, great list,
Miley
great list.
Miley Cyrus, Katy Perry.
Yeah,
Taylor
but there was
Swift.
One celebrity that rose above them all. Down to earth, A-lister. I saw her every morning in the mirror. It's a monster.
All right, thank you very much. There goes Fifi's brain on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The countdown is on. It is a Pippa Middleton's wedding this Saturday. No.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Remember when Pippa ruined Kate and Will's wedding by being hot and having a hot butt? Remember
that's
that?
That's right.
Remember when it stole the show?
That's right.
The whole world were focused
knew
on her derriere.
Do you know how they all got led to here? I've been watching this Netflix series called Crown.
Don't
it's so good. It's
Don't.
The best.
They're going to ruin it for me. I'm going to catch up. Anyway, so interesting that Pippa now gets her moment. And let's be honest, she was just a normal, ordinary girl and her sister hooked up with a prince and now she's almost royal. So she's having a big fancy wedding this weekend. Good on her. Marrying her million billionaire. No, I'm really happy for her.
Has she? She's hooked up with a bloke who's banked up.
Yeah, very.
Could at least give him a name check. Million billionaire. Wait, who is the guy?
Hang on a second.
Daddy Warbucks, I think.
What is his name?
Yep.
That's
Mr. Middleton.
On the spot.
No, you know what? I'm not actually taking the fall for this. This article has not even mentioned her fiancé.
Because no one cares.
Poor guy.
You're right.
He's just cashed up. And
this is his life. He's marrying the new Prince Philip. Royal. No one's ever going to know his name.
Well, hang on a second. Is that the Daily Mail where they mention stuff like, you know, Beck Judd's husband has been taken out for a few weeks and is not playing? And you're like, you mean Chris Judd?
Apparently it's James Matthews.
Here we go. Yeah, James, it's not in this article. Okay, so James. So Pippa and James are getting wedding married. Matho. But interestingly, Kate, again, trying to steal her sister's thunder, she has said she's really worried about how her kids are going to behave. I'm speaking of Prince George and little Princess
Charlotte.
Well,
they'd be Flower Girl and Page Boy, that's probably.
Correct. That's exactly what they are. But she's worried they're going to ruin it. Right. And I don't think... Trixie, fortunately, at this stage, hasn't been involved in any weddings to ruin, but I imagine that, look, kids ruin.
Won't be far away.
Oh!
Hang on.
Kids do ruin weddings. I mean, look, we love kids. We do love kids, but come on, they do ruin weddings. We've all been at a wedding where you hear a child crying in the middle of the ceremony.
They make them beautiful, surely.
I know. I've got a headache coming up. I'm not thinking straight. No, but think about how many times you've put, you know, a 3-year-old or your 4-year-old daughter has been in, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to hand over the ring, and then they get down the front and they forget to hand over the ring, or they run away with the cushion with the rings on it.
Well, kids could actually wreck the wedding for the bride, and the baby might not even be out yet because she can't have a drink. Wrecks your wedding.
What?
I've got a headache too.
We need some examples. If you've seen a child destroy a wedding, we need to hear from you now, because none of this makes sense.
I've seen two radio hosts destroy a radio show. Is that the same thing?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Pippa, Kate Middleton's sister, is getting married this weekend, so it's sort of like a quasi royal wedding. Anyway, she has as her flower girl and her page boy her niece and nephew, who, of course, they are heirs to the throne, little George and Charlotte. But Kate is concerned that they're going to ruin the wedding. And I imagine this is look, kids don't ruin weddings, but they certainly throw curveballs and they do things you don't expect at weddings. I'm trying to say that nicely.
They do. And that's, I mean, you're saying like this is a bad thing, right? Because let's be honest, you go to weddings so that you go to the reception. You push through the ceremony, you're like, yada, let's go. Where's the food and booze?
Where's that food?
So when you're carrying the kid, you're like, oh, they're making a bit of noise. I better get out. I'll look after it. And then you go look after your kids, and then you just turn up to reception.
But the funny thing too is kids... People love it when kids stuff up at weddings and do things that embarrass their parents. It's the bride and groom that never find it funny.
That's
true. Let's be honest, it's the bride. It's just the bride, really. The groom has to stifle his laugh.
Well, the groom's trying to push through his hangover from the Bucks party.
Shannon from Aspendale Gardens. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Shannon, have you had a child ruin your wedding?
It was actually me. I was the child.
Ah, Shannon, high five. What did you do?
I made it all the way down the aisle at my great uncle's wedding and then completely spat the dummy and chucked a 15-minute tantrum, and they couldn't progress with the ceremony until someone calmed me down.
Oh, Shannon.
What were you, 17?
It was last week.
Oh, it was when?
She was joking. It was the zinger. But it would have ruined. I mean, we laugh now. Have you been reminded of that for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
So I'd say it's the pressure on you. I think kids know when there's pressure on them. Like, I'm no doubt, Shannon, your mum would have said, you do not stuff this up. This is your uncle's wedding.
I just thought I was the one getting married. I didn't want to get married.
Thanks for that, Shannon. Dylan from Wallen. Hi, Dylan.
How you going?
Good, Dylan. I get the feeling you might have been a child that ruined a wedding.
No, it wasn't me. It was me little brother. He walked down the aisle all fine, you know, the ring boy. Got to the end and spewed his guts up all over the ring.
Oh, wow.
Was it captured for funniest home videos?
Oh, no, I wish.
That would have been...
Got bought up at his 21st. So.
Of course it did, yeah.
Oh, you can't...
That's what happens when you eat the food before you go in.
Oh.
Absolute ripper.
Yeah, carrots over the 18 carrot.
You can leave now.
Thanks
so much for your contribution.
That was an awesome topic.
Fun one. Thank you very much, Dylan. could have gone viral, could have videoed it, but didn't. But that was a good story.
Yeah, hey, good chat.
You can't call in to win prizes during Fifi, Dave, Feb and Byron catch-ups. But now this one's over, you can head to theweeklyreview.com.au and enter to win their golden ticket, valued at over $10,000.